This is Fresh Air. Our TV critic David Bianculli is going to talk with us about the year in television and tell us what's on his 10 best list. Well, David, I want to hear your 10 best list, but first, was this a good year for TV?
Yes, except it was an overwhelming year. I think this is the year I finally gave up saying, I've got to watch everything. I can't.
Between streaming
and
all the cable channels.
Streaming and TV and so much good stuff, and then the news, which is its own job. But as a TV critic, I not only have to keep track of the news, but to be fair, as I see it, I have to watch the news from various outlets.
Well, let's get to your 10 best list. I'm anxious to hear what's on it.
Okay. Can I make one complaint about my own 10 best list before we start? I wish it were a 20 or a 30. Television is so good. And so here they go.
Okay.
Tied for 10, Big Little Lies on HBO, which is sort of like David Kelly's comeback or part of his comeback. The Deuce on HBO, which is a new David Simon program that's looking at Times Square in the 70s and the porno industry. And then Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, which I think almost prefigured a zeitgeist of female empowerment and was really a good adaptation. So that's my 10th. Number 9 is The Good Place on NBC. It's a comedy with a very clever premise, and it's the only broadcast show in my top 10 among the old broadcast networks. They've basically given up. Number 8 is The Americans on FX. Number 7 is Black Mirror, which drops its new season just a couple of days before the end of the year this year. But to me, that's still the year 2017, and I've seen them all. And then number 6 is Mindhunter on Netflix, which was a wonderful show. Number 5 is Legion, programmed by Noah Hawley, who sort of came out of nowhere a few years ago when he started redoing Fargo. And then number 4 is Fargo, the third season. And number 3 is the return of Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm. Number 2, another Netflix show, a Western, from Scott Frank. I wasn't familiar with his work before, but Godless is the best Western since Deadwood. And then number 1, repeating in my top spot, is AMC's Better Call Saul.
Well, since Better Call Saul has been your number 1 spot a couple of years in a row,
mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk about that a little bit? Actually, I think you brought a clip with you about it.
I did. And I brought also, this is one of the things as a TV critic, I think this may be the smartest thing I've ever come up with in terms of why a show is good and how good it is and a secret thing. Let me test this out on you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think that Better Call Saul, of course, comes from Breaking Bad. I think Breaking Bad is one of the best drama series ever. And I think that Better Call Saul is like the best spinoff of the best drama series. Now, think of what the best spinoff from a comedy series might be, from a good comedy series, and I go to Frasier, spun off from Cheers. And here's my big aha, is that both shows took supporting characters, you know, either Kelsey Grammer as Frasier or Bob Odenkirk as Saul, spun them off into their own show and gave them previously unknown brothers, and the whole new series is a brother dynamic.
That's a really interesting point.
And with Better Call Saul, it's played more for drama than for comedy, and it builds, and the most important thing about that show is the relationship between these two brothers, Jimmy, who is going to turn into Saul, and Chuck, who's the older brother who disapproves of Jimmy because he thinks he's going to turn it to no good. And we know, because this is a prequel, that he's right. So this clip just has the two of them in a room just talking at the end of a couple of seasons.
But what's the point of all the sad faces and the gnashing of teeth? If you're not going to change your behavior, and you won't, why not just skip the whole exercise? In the end, you're going to hurt everyone around you. You can't help it. So stop apologizing and accept it. Embrace it. Frankly, I'd have more respect for you if you did.
What about you, Chuck? You didn't do anything wrong? You're just an innocent victim?
Let me put your mind at ease, Jimmy. You don't have to make up with me. We don't have to understand each other. Things are fine the way they are. Hey. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But the truth is, you've never mattered all that much to me.
Now, if you followed that show, that's such a hurtful scene. But even if you're listening to it for the first time, I hope you get a sense of the dynamics of these two guys, which are basically, they're comic actors or character actors doing a great job.
I know. I've never thought of Michael McKean in the same way again, ever since seeing him in Better Call Saul, because I'm used to him in comedy.
Yeah.
And I love seeing actors who are so perfectly cast in surprising ways.
Yeah, and yeah. Odenkirk is the same way. I mean, he's carrying this show, although there are it's a marvelously cast program and a brilliantly written one, too.
So number two on your top 10 list is Godless, a Western series I really love, too.
I love, too.
And I had a chance to talk to the creator of the series, Scott Frank, about what I love about the series. I'm interested in hearing what you love about it.
Well, I loved Deadwood, and this not only is an homage to Deadwood in certain scenes in certain ways, but also all spaghetti westerns, anything that Clint Eastwood has done more recently. And it's also kind of like The Fugitive on the Prairie, because it has a determined lawman chasing a one-armed man. The one-armed man is played by Jeff Daniels, and he's a brilliantly nasty villain. And the sheriff is played by Scoot McNairy. And I brought a clip where the two of them first meet up, and all you have to do is listen to it.
Well, I admire your ginger, sir. Sometimes men want me to kill them, so they can die attached to some purpose. Is that what you want? You want me to kill you? Turn you into a bedtime story?
I prefer to kill you first.
You won't kill me, friend.
Not today, I won't.
Not ever. I've seen how it happens. Ain't gonna be the law that blows out my spark.
If you say so.
I know so. Now you do, too.
Okay, so that was a scene from Godless, David Bianculli's number two pick of the best TV shows of the year. So, David, earlier when you ran through your top 10 list of the year, you expressed some regret that you only had room for 10. 13 if you count the runners-up. But let me give you the chance here to name some other TV shows that you loved a lot that just couldn't be fit.
Oh, absolutely.
10.
In terms of nonfiction, there's one, Ken Burns' Vietnam, which I thought was absolutely wonderful. And then it made me cry like 5 or 6 times watching it. And then in terms of the shows that just missed my top 10, 12, 13, whatever it was, they would include Game of Thrones, Stranger Things 2. And there were lots of shows that I really liked during the year, like Glow and Master of None and Episodes and The Crown and Orphan Black and even Feud, Betty versus Joan, I thought was a really nice miniseries, the whole idea about Betty Davis and Joan Crawford. And Twin Peaks, although it infuriated me, I still watched it every single week, and I still remember parts of it. So I didn't love it like I loved the original, but the fact that I could see it again, I really liked that.
So let's take a short break here, and then we'll be back and talk more about the year in TV with our TV critic, David Bianculli. This is Fresh Air.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air, and we're talking about the year in television with our TV critic, David Bianculli. This was an incredible year for late-night comedy. What
Absolutely.
Have been, like, some of your favorite shows or highlights of the year in late-night comedy?
Well, my very favorite, if you can call it late-night, it's lumped in with the same thing, is John Oliver, Last Week Tonight on HBO. I think he's done the most magnificent job of anyone. But it hasn't only been John Oliver, because you have the monologues of Jimmy Kimmel, the real sharp satire of Seth Meyers. You have Saturday Night Live, what it's brought to the mix.
Colbert, of course.
And I was saving him to get there, because he's so, I mean, he sort of reclaimed that territory, Stu, and certainly he's taken from his old show, taken from everything else, and Stephen Colbert has been wonderful.
Well, since you love John Oliver's show so much, is there a favorite moment you'd like to play for us?
Yes, it's from his last show of the season before his hiatus. The whole setup is that on Fox and Friends in the Washington, D.C. area, there's an actual advertisement by a guy who's dressed like a cowboy and drawls and sells catheters. So John Oliver has cast a lookalike as the catheter cowboy, bought time on Fox and Friends in that local market, and has the actor start off by selling catheters and then address the most famous viewer in chief, President Donald Trump, directly. It's hilarious.
Let's hear it.
But if Trump is going to keep watching that show, we are going to spend our hiatus sneaking information through our catheter cowboy. So a number of commercials are going to be airing on Fox News over the next few months. Here is the first one.
Attention catheter patients.
I'm a professional cowboy. I use catheters, and there's two things I know. I don't like pain when I cath. And the term clean coal doesn't refer to the physical act of cleaning coal. That would be impossible. Coal is coal. Clean coal is a marketing term the coal industry came up with for stuff like carbon capture and sequestration, an expensive process that's shown limited results at best. Also, Frederick Douglass is dead. More tomorrow. Bye-bye.
That's good information for him to know. That will be on Fox in the D.C. area later this week. And keep an eye out for more of them, because that cowboy has got a bunch up his sleeve.
That's really hilarious. And the fact that he actually bought time for this satirical commercial on Fox and Friends, it is such a kind of remarkable comic invention.
It's a macro. It's like Pat Paulson running for president in 1968 and all these things happening where you go out of the TV arena and it's this giant sort of major thing, because you know he has to see those.
One of the things John Oliver did early in his first season, was a big thing on net neutrality. David, can you talk about what he did, how that affected the issue of net neutrality in the Obama administration?
Oh,
and what's happening?
Like, oh, sure. He brought that to life and sort of mobilized to preserve the idea of net neutrality and get people to writing to the FCC and writing to the representatives. And I'm a TV critic. And I learned about net neutrality. I mean, I learned more about it through this comedy program. That's how well-researched his pieces are. And now we're at a point where it's been reversed. It's being challenged. It will be one of the biggest news stories, I suspect, in terms of television in 2018.
David, last year at this time, you talked about how the Trump candidacy, how his campaign had certain similarities to his reality show, The Apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
So now that President Trump has been in the White House for nearly a year, are there ways in which you think he's turned the White House into a reality show?
Oh, there's one way, absolutely. And that The Apprentice was built as an ongoing storyline that was supposed to get you more and more involved each week. And it is not an accident. It is not a coincidence the way President Trump is always saying things like, I'll let you know this in a few days, or we're coming up with something next week, or always filling, if he perceives a vacuum in the news, Saturday tweets, things like that. He's always out there to try and dominate the news cycle. It has increased the news cycle, exponentially to me. And I'm pretty sure everybody's like that. It's exhausting.
You've always had a lot of TVs in your home and have a history of watching several channels at once.
Yeah.
Since it's not even exclusively about channels anymore, it's about, streaming sites, you have to give up on the idea of keeping up. I mean, it's just, you can't be watching everything that's out there at the same time because...
I have given up. And it's, I feel like I just did as much as I could and Sisyphus finally let the rock just roll all over him. I don't even have my 12 TV wall anymore. I just watch one at a time as much as I can. But you're right. There is, between the entertainment and the news, there is just too much. I'm covering everything that I can, but it's amazing the quantity that's out there.
Yeah. Well, David, I wish you a wonderful 2018.
Oh, thanks. I really love these end-of-year talks. TV is getting harder, but you always make this easy, so thanks.
Thank you, and thank you for being our TV critic and for giving me some new shows that I haven't watched to catch up on.
Yeah, in all your spare time.
In all my spare time, yeah. Okay. Thank you again.
Thanks.
David Bianculli is Fresh Air's TV critic and author of The Platinum Age of Television. He teaches TV and film history at Rowan University.